Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
A word for you. I don't have a lot of time. You know, things can turn around quick. Just ask the Houston Texans. I think I'd rather not make the playoffs like the Cowboys didn't. Than to go out like that, my God. So things can happen quick. We're going to make this quick today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs. Let's turn in our Bibles to Habakkuk. While you're turning there, an atheist scientist came to God and said, "We figured out how to make a man without you." God said, "Okay, let me see you do it." So the atheist bent down to the ground and scooped up a handful of dirt, but God stopped him and said, "Oh, no, you don't. Get your own dirt." Come on now. That was a good one, right? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keeps the law, that keeps the word, happy is he. Habakkuk 2:2-3, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You may be seated. Speaking on Own the Vision, and I promise you, I do know what time it is. Session 1, we covered a person that does not have vision puts themselves in danger and everyone around them in danger. We spoke that God can do anything, but he will not do everything. We've got to do something in the process. That we must prepare for the vision by praying, English, Spanish, Holy Ghost, getting in our word, meditating, declaring, prophesying it. Examining ourselves, how can we be better? Quit pointing the finger at everyone else and start looking in the mirror. We talked about challenging ourselves, that I want to be a better Brandon in 2020 than I was in 2019, that I want to be a better Brandon in January than I was in December, to write down our visions. One of the dear sisters of this church stopped me this week and said, "Pastor, I've been writing down my vision. I've been putting it in front of me, and it's already coming to pass." Last week we talked about and we dove into the five things that you've got to do to own the vision, which is what we're speaking on. Number one, you've got to know the vision. To know the vision, you got to know Christ, the visionary. You got to know the Word. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to know the Holy Ghost. We talked about speaking the vision. You got to pray the vision. You got to declare the vision. You got to prophesy the vision. To own the vision, we must take ownership. We must possess. This is the year of owning the vision. When you say something and somebody calls you out, they say, "Come on, man, own it." Meaning, don't back down now. You said what you said. You did what you did. Own what you said. Own that action. I want to encourage you, as you declare the promises of God, it's not just verbs and nouns that you put together in sentences and paragraphs. When you share the vision of God, own that vision. "Yep, devil, that's what I said, and that's what's going to happen." When people tell you "nope, nope, that's what God told me, and that's what's going to happen." You own it. You take possession. You work like it all depends on you. You believe like it all depends on God. Do what you can. God will do the rest. You do the possible. God will do the impossible. Tyler turned 16 on Tuesday. Tyler has been driving me around as my personal chauffeur. It has been great, but that all ends on Tuesday because he's been saving his money. He's been working towards so he can get his down payment together. And I've cautioned him, "Hey, it ain't about the down payment. It's about the next 60 that follow it. It's about insurance and gas." So you're going to help him? I'm going to help him a little bit. I'm going to take the keys away from him when he doesn't mind. No, that will happen. I'm not going to do that the first week. But Tyler's been preparing so that when he gets turns 16, we already plan on being the first one in line at DMV at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. Why do you say he don't have a car? Why get a license? Why give him a car if he doesn't have a license? Most people say, why get a license if you don't have a car? Why would God give you a car if you don't have a license? Can I encourage you? You've got to prepare and say, God, I'm ready for it. You ain't ready for it. You haven't done defensive driving. You haven't gone through driver's education. You haven't gone down and gotten your permit. You haven't spent 40 hours behind the wheel. You haven't gone through all of this. Why would I do the impossible when you haven't done the possible? And so to own the vision, we do the possible, and then God steps in and does the impossible. So we talked about know the vision. We talked about speak the vision. Let's talk number three, share the vision. Now, when you share the vision, who are we sharing it to? We're sharing it with family. You know actually who I share the vision with first? God. He said, well, God gave you the vision. Yeah, I want to make sure I heard him correctly. Because sometimes I got to clean out my ears. Because sometimes I hear things that I want God to say. Come on now. Am I the only one that prays that way? Sometimes I'm praying and I'm interceding so much, but I have a desire that's Brandon's desire that's really not God's desire, and I'm praying so much and I want this thing so much that I start saying, God, I think God said this when God didn't say that. And so when God gives me a vision, I speak that vision, I share that vision back to God, and then God can say, yeah, you got 98% of it right, but that 2%, that's where you creeped in. That wasn't me. That was the pizza talking. Come on, we did that 3-day fast, y'all. I've been talking with a lot of people that have been doing the fast, and Daniel fast is still going, but the people that did the 3-day fast, everybody's been trading. What'd you break fast on? I broke fast on Chester's hamburger with an onion ring and a french fry. The first 5 minutes, my body was like, yeah, woo! That 6th minute, my body was like, what have you done? And so we're at this place where everything that we're praying, we need to make sure that it's vision. That's why we end our prayer with, but not my will, not my vision, but God, let your will and your vision come to pass in my life. So we share the vision first with God. We share the vision with family. We share the vision with your BFF, your praise partner, your prayer partner. You share the vision with coworkers. And if you have a lot of guts, you'll share that vision on social media. However, when you share your vision, much farther than this today. When you share your vision, it produces many things. The first person it produces in your life are cheerleaders. Now, if you're a cheerleader, I love you. I promise I do. I promise I do. But when I watch an NFL game, it is not enhanced or dehanced, not even a word. We'll take it down as a push. Dehanced. The cheerleaders don't add or take away from the game because I'm not there for them. I'm there for the football game. And so the cheerleaders in your life are people that love to cheer you on but refuse to make an investment in you. So when you share vision with them, they say things like, ooh, that's good. Ooh, God's going to bless you. But they won't pray for you. They won't support you. They won't show up and defend you when other people are hating on your vision or worse, coming against your vision. And so the cheerleaders are very easy to identify because all they give you is lip service. And sometimes I do need somebody to hype me up. Everybody needs a hype person. Everybody needs a hype man. But at the end of the day, I don't need somebody just chirping in my ear. I need somebody that's going to help me dig the ditch, build the fire. I need somebody that's going to get in the trench, that knows how to pray, that knows how to sing, that knows how to worship, that knows how to get to the throne room of God. So when I don't want to go, they drag me in there. So when I'm having a pity party, they put my pity party out and make it a praise party. I don't need cheerleaders. I need somebody who will get in the middle of my vision and say, what you told me has not yet come to pass, and so I'm going to make sure you get there. And so we identify the cheerleaders. We high-five them. We knuckle up and hit them. We say, thank you so much for what you offer. But at the end of the day, all it is lip service. And then you've got the true supporters. Those are the ones that invest in your vision. Everybody is not going to love your vision. Everybody's not going to hate your vision. And everybody is not going to give into your vision. Everybody's not going to do that. And you have to be prepared for that. But let me tell you something. God doesn't need everybody. God needs you. And if you'll say yes to what God has shown you, as big as it is, if you'll own it and say,
God, if that's what you said you're going to do through me, in me, with me, for me, then God, I'm going to start speaking that word to anybody that will listen, because I know that all I need is you. But this is my track record with God. All I need is God. But God will start sending people into my life that are my true supporters, like Aaron, that will lift up the arms of Moses when it gets to, you need people in your life that come March when the vision is fading, when all the dreams are waning. You need somebody in your life to remind you, remember what you told me that God told you in January. Remember the sacrifices you made. Don't give up. I know the vision is tarrying, but wait on it. It's on its way. Could it be that tomorrow about this time, you're going to see it come to pass? Could it be that God's getting ready to speak something brand new into your life? Could it be that God's giving you fresh direction and God's bringing you fresh provision? You need the true supporters in your life. They invest, they give, pray, love, they encourage, they inspire. I was watching between services today, Christian television. It was the biggest bunch of nothing that I've ever seen in 18 minutes. I felt worse after watching it than when I started. That's not what I want in my life, and that's not what you need. You need to get around people that will love you, people that will speak faith, and even in the midst, listen, you don't need people that are just yes men, but you need people that can rebuke you. You need people that can speak into you. You need people that can snap your attention back to where it needs to be when we start getting off course. You need somebody that will encourage, inspire, and reach out to you. You're going to have the haters. I love haters. I literally am nourished by their hatred. It makes me know that I'm doing something. It makes me know that I'm doing something that the devil does not like. If you tell me I can't, watch me. I will. If you tell me I will fail, watch me. I'll do it 10 times, take pictures, and tag you on social media. Tell me I can't, and I'll spend the rest of my life proving that if that's what God called me to do, then that is what I'm going to do. I want to encourage you today. Let the haters line up. God said, I will make a table in the presence of your enemies. I need the haters in my life if I expect God to prepare a table. But I want them hating on me because it tells me that I'm right where I need to be, doing exactly what God has told me to do. I wasn't going to share this story, but hey, we're already here. Let's share it. Somebody called the church this weekend saying the food bank was going to fail. I'm not talking about an outsider. I'm talking about a Living Way person. So my first question was this. How do you show the level of failure at a food bank? Is reaching 5 families failing? Is reaching 50 families failing? Is reaching 500 families failing? Because if you reach 5 families, you could say that it's a failure, or you could say 5 families were fed for the week. How do you measure failure of a ministry like that? And so you know what I did? I laughed it off. I said, the next time that person calls, patch them through to me. I'll set them straight. I'm not going to pull no punches, because if they had a nerve to call this church and speak that negativity and that faithless talk, then they better get ready for an earful of faith. They better get ready for an earful of Joseph saying, I got a dream, and you can hate me, you can bury me, you can do whatever you want to do, but now, guess what? I knew it was going to be a success, but I will die first before I let that food bank fail. I will do what God... Oh, come on now. I thought you'd be standing up with me by now saying, oh, Pastor, we're going to support, we're going to bring, we're going to give, we're going to serve, we're going to do everything we can to make that thing a success. But I'm here to tell you, even if they don't, even if you won't, even if I don't, it will succeed. Why? Because God gave the vision, and it will not tarry. It will come to pass. I'm not mad. I'm nourished. All it did was solidify my focus. It was the same day. Brother Ernest, can I tell him or not? I was a little reserved. Brother Ernest called. Brother Ernest sent word. He said, I got a half a pallet of food. He said, my company wants to donate it. He said, I've been praying for my company that this door would be open. Boom, half a pallet. Me and him unloaded that half a pallet the same day that the hate call came, the same day that the failure call came. I was sitting in my office. Sister Reba texted me, just so you know, the same company just donated a full pallet of food. And I'm here to tell you, in 24 hours, God, just like that woman sent in her testimony, God was just up in heaven just laughing. I'm glad you heard all that negativity, Brandon, because instead of making you shrink, man, it made you stand a little taller. Man, it made you walk a little with more confidence. Why? Because if God gave me the vision, then I don't care who comes against it. I don't care who is for it. I'm going to do what God said to do, and God is going to give what God said he would give. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, own the vision.
That story might get me in trouble. We'll see.
I love this. When you tell the vision, share the vision with haters, lovers, family, friends, coworkers. It automatically provides accountability.
I'm going to tell one on myself now.
4 months ago, I stood on the very platform, and I told you I was going to start eating right. I have. I quit eating left. I just started turning right into all the fast food.
See, you can, that's how some of us read the Bible. We make it say what we want it to say.
I'm going to shock you with this next statement. It's obvious I have not been eating right. It's obvious. I've changed Habakkuk 2 where it says run, so that they that run can read it. I'm like, those that can walk briskly can read it. But you know what? People in this church started coming down and saying, Pastor, it's been a month. We're not seeing any difference. Pastor, a few of y'all are bold. Y'all treat me like I'm pregnant. You rub the belly. Listen, I ain't Buddha. Hands off the merchandise.
What is that? Accountability. I'm going to be honest with you. A couple times it ticked me off. And then God had to rebuke me and say, you're the one who opened your mouth. You could have been fat and sassy and never told anybody you're going to work out and eat right. But the moment that you opened up your mouth, now you've got hundreds of people that are holding you accountable. Why? Because they want you to live a long, full life and lead this church into the next generation. And so I need you to pray for me. Y'all thought I was going to make a big stand on how I was going to eat right and do better. I'm praying about it, y'all. But y'all pray for me. Why? Because when I share something like that, it gives automatic accountability. The moment that I tell Michael I'm going to do something, I am accountable to Michael. The moment I tell Sister Janice that I'm going to do something, I'm accountable to Sister Jan. Can I tell you to start talking your vision to anybody that will stop and listen? Why? So that every time you meet them, you have to hear, what are you doing? Are you closer to your vision today than you were yesterday? Are you closer to your vision in January than you were in December? I need some accountability in my life, and so do you. If you're in this room today, speak your vision. Share your vision. Let them hate. Let them love. But get that vision out there.
Stand on your feet. Check this out. Sooner or later, Chris, I'm going to share the vision. And I'm not going to find a hater. I'm going to find somebody that says, oh, your vision is a food bank. But, well, how about we give you $100,000 a year? And it would not have happened if I didn't share the vision. Could it be that you're going to meet somebody tomorrow that if you shut your mouth, nothing happens? But if you started talking about what God was doing in your life, what God had promised in your life, you are going to meet the benefactor that God is going to use to bring to pass what God has promised in your life. It doesn't happen until you speak and share the vision. It
doesn't happen. Speak, share vision. Cheerleaders are going to come, high five them. Supporters are going to come, embrace them. Haters are going to come, pull up a chair at your table. But accountability is going to come, and they're going to hold you to the standard of the vision that God has given you. We're talking about church vision. We're talking about your vision. We're talking about finances. We're talking about family.
We're talking about career. We're talking about higher education. I don't know. I'm here to tell you, I got a spiritual vision. I got a vision for the rest of this day. I've got a five-year vision. I've got ministry vision. I've got plans that God has given me. I got new businesses I'm going to start. All of these visions. And I begin to tell people, because who knows when I'm going to meet somebody that's going to publish my book and give me $1 million sign. I'm telling my vision. Telling my vision. I want to open this altar right now to visionaries. Very simple. If you got a vision that hadn't yet come to pass, I need you to join me right now. I need you to get some resolve. I need you to put some feet to your faith. I need that confidence to rise up in you. I need you to get ready. Your marriages are getting stronger. Your children are getting stronger. That thing that God told you He was going to do, ministry in your life, God is beginning to open great big doors of opportunity to you in this place right now, right here, in Jesus' name. Look at this. I love this. Man, that's about as quick as we can get an altar full here at Living Way. Here they come. Here they come. They're visionaries. They're visionaries. They're visionaries. Listen, I know this feels weird, but I need you to lift both your hands if you can. And I want you to just start saying vision. Maybe you're here to receive a vision. That's good. If you're here to receive a vision, say, God, give me vision. But if you've already got a vision, just start saying it. Oh, you say, oh, Pastor, that's going to be embarrassing. If you just can't say it out loud in church, how are you going to speak it? How are you going to share it? In the name of Jesus, debt free. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, your spouse that does not live for God is coming to Jesus. That's a vision. Your child that's away from God is coming back. That's a vision. I'm going to own a business. That's a vision. I'm going to cure cancer. That's a vision. I'm going to pay off this church. That's a vision. Whatever your vision is, it's God-given. That's you and God. It's not for me to decide. Man, I got these young people come tell me at 12 years old, I'm going to play in the NFL. I'm not raining on their parade. We got a former Super Bowl champion that came out of this church. It can happen, young people, young person. I don't know what your vision is, but own it. Know the vision. Speak the vision. Share the vision. I speak it at all times, but then I start looking in people's eyes and say, this is what God is doing. This is what God has promised. This is what God has said in my life. If you're in this altar today, God hears you. God is looking. I'm getting ready to pray for you. We are out of time. We are over time right now by 1 minute. But give me 3 more minutes and we're going to dismiss. But we're going to pray. I'm going to ask that these altar workers go ahead and start praying. I'm going to come down. I'm still going to lay hands on everybody. But I want you to go ahead.